Chapter 11. We drove a couple of miles to the east. I had cleaned out the cab of the truck as best I could, and George rode up front with me. The weather held, so while cool, there was no problem with the kids riding in the bed of the truck. I slowed to a stop as we approached the injunction of Alabama Road 188. "What's up?" George asked, scanning the road ahead for danger. I pointed to the gas station across from our intended turn. "We could use some gas," I replied. "We're probably going to run out before we make it to Perdido Key." "I don't see any sort of defenses or issues by the pump or store," George said. I nodded. "I know. That's what bothers me. Gas is going to be a very valuable commodity and something to be protected. While it's possible that things haven't totally gone to shit here in rural redneck Alabama, I doubt it. Things were shitty here before the bombs ever dropped, and I expect everyone here owns a gun or three."
"So what are we going to do?"
"You and John are going to cover me with the rifles we have from inside the truck, and I'm going to walk into the station."
"We only have a few rounds for the long guns," George reminded me.
I gave George a half smile and nodded toward the service station. "I know that, and you know that, but they don't know that."
"They?"
"Yeah, they. I just saw someone move in one of the windows. There are people in the station, and they're watching us. Probably getting nervous, too. I better go before they get too nervous." I pulled the truck a little further up, then angled it across the road so it was broadside to the station. George slid over and pointed one rifle out the window, while I had John cover the opposite direction with a pistol.
"Shouldn't he be facing the pumps, too?" George asked.
"What if someone tries to sneak up on you while I'm gone?"
Yeah, that's what I thought, too," I replied.
"John, watch the opposite side and shoot anything that tries to sneak up on the truck."
"Yes, sir,"
John said, serious. I think it had just dawned on him how real things had gotten. I set up Alice with the other rifle in the bed of the truck, and I had her point it toward the gas station. It didn't really matter much that she couldn't shoot it. We didn't have any bullets for it either. I had her younger brother Eric lie down in the bed of the truck. With them as prepared as I could make them, I walked toward the gas station. I had two pistols in my belt within easy reach, but kept my hands high. I approached the building, keeping the pumps in between us. I figured having to shoot past the pumps would make them at least think twice before firing at me. I hoped.
"Hello, in the station,"
I called, trying not to yell so loud that all of their neighbors could hear, too. I figured the fewer participants we had, the better.
"Can I come in?"
"Slowly, mister,"
a man's voice replied.
"What do you want?"
"I'm trying to make it to Perdido Key and could use a tank of gas."
"How you gonna pay?"
"How about credit?" I asked.
"You gotta be fucking kidding me,"
the man said with a laugh.
"Ain't no such thing as credit no more."
"I have some cash."
"And what's that gonna get me?"
I shrugged.
"I don't know what you can buy around here."
"With that shit?"
the man asked.
"Not a damn thing."
"Well, what will a tank of gas cost? What kind of weapons and ammo you got for trade?"
"I have a pistol or two I could trade you. Maybe a magazine of ammo."
I reached the pump, but didn't go any closer, figuring the pump was my best cover. They wouldn't want to shoot at it if it had any gas. If they didn't have gas, there weren't any issues with hiding behind it.
"Where do you say you were going again?"
"Perdido Key. Why? Where are you coming from?"
Something was wrong. He was stalling. I glanced behind me to see that all eyes in the truck were on me.
"John," I yelled, "turn around."
He spun around and his pistol came up immediately. George spun around too as John began firing, and he slid to the other side of the truck. Both of my pistols were in my hands as I crouched behind one of the pumps. John fired four times, then stopped, although I could see he was still pointing the pistol at the forest on the other side of the truck.
"You okay, John?"
I called.
"Yeah," he yelled back, still focused on the other side of the truck. Two guys were trying to sneak up on us. I think I got one. I turned back to the service station.
That how you deal, honestly, with people here?
I asked.
Don't know what you mean, the man replied. Come on out here, I ordered. Get fucked. If you don't come out here, I'm gonna come in there and get you. Why don't you fucking try?
He asked. I figured we were pretty much done talking by this point, so I faked I was coming around the pump one way, then ran out the other. A gun roared, a shotgun from the sound of it, but he had fallen for the fake and I made it out of the pumps. I felt the wind from a second blast as the pellets went past, but it was another miss, and then I was up to the building. I fired a round through the glass door, shattering it, and the shotgun roared a third time. The rack of hydrogenated snack cakes by the door disintegrated in the blast.
Last chance, I yelled. What part of get fucked didn't you understand?
A large rock sat by the side of the building, probably used to prop the door open on nice days. I threw it through the empty door frame into the closest rack. The man behind the counter fired at the motion like he had every other time. I fired once, hitting him in the chest, and he fell backward into the condom display stand. I avoided the glass remaining in the door frame as I stepped through, approached the counter, and shot him again through the head. Click. I dove behind the counter, landing on the dead man. I heard a pump-action shotgun cycle, then it roared and the condom display exploded. I tried to stand up as the pump-action worked again, but slipped in a puddle of blood and fell back to the floor. The shotgun boomed again, covering me in bits of paper and metal. This time I found my footing and rose to find a woman working the action. I shot her twice, and she fell backward into a rack of snacks. A quick search showed no one else was in the store, so I went back out and waved George forward. He pulled up to the pump and jumped out. You pump, I directed. John, you go to the other side of the store and watch for anyone coming. Alice, grab that bag and grab as much food as you can from the store. Eric, stay where you are and watch for anyone coming from this side. I ran back to the door and opened it, using the rock to hold it open, and started bringing cases of water to the truck. When I didn't see Alice, I walked around the racks to find her staring at the dead woman. The bag she'd been carrying had fallen to the floor, and she stood with her mouth open, transfixed, unable to look away. I stepped in front of her, breaking her contact with the scene. Then gently, or as gently as I could, turned her around. Alice, I said, putting the bag back in her hand. I need you to grab all the food you can and bring it to the truck. Don't look at the woman. I grabbed another case of water and took it to the truck. When I came back, Alice was filling the bag. Not as quickly as I would have liked, but food was going into the bag. It also wasn't what I would have selected, but it would hopefully make her and her siblings happy. Tanksful, George said as I came out with another case of water. Good. Grab all the spare tanks you can find and fill them too, quickly. I grabbed several bags from behind the counter and scooped all the energy and protein bars into one, then added the containers of peanut butter, the two bags of rice, and the four boxes of pasta into a second and a third. I scooped up the two shotguns and took it all to the truck. Alice was on her second trip, this time with every candy bar she could carry. At least they'd be good for energy. I took another case of water to the truck, and Alice jumped as I came into the store. She turned toward me, holding a package of toilet paper and several boxes of tampons. She glared at me as if daring me to stop her, and she said, I'm taking these for me. I nodded, and she walked past. Then I stepped forward to look at the shelf. All that remained was single-ply toilet paper, which sucked, but was at least marginally better than using a leaf. I grabbed the rest of them, as well as the rest of the tampons, and ran them out to the truck. I ran back to the store to find John coming in the other entrance. People are coming, he exclaimed. I grabbed an armful of cigarette cartons and gave them to him. Take these to the truck and get in. I don't smoke, he exclaimed. Just do it, I yelled. He scampered off with the cigarettes. Movement caught my eye. Alice, get in the truck. She rushed out, not needing to be told twice. She was probably happy to be away from the dead body. I grabbed the box of shotgun shells behind the counter and three first aid kits alongside it. I threw them into the bag, then filled it up with cigarette cartons and ran out the door. George already had the truck running and the kids loaded into the back, and was sitting in the passenger seat with his rifle out the window. The driver's door was open, so I slid in, slammed it shut, and drove off in a spray of gravel. I slowed slightly as I drove over the railroad tracks on Alabama 188, then roared off. I saw a few people come around the side of the convenience store, but we were too far for them to bother shooting at us. After a couple of seconds, we rounded a curve and were out of sight, and I released the breath I didn't realize I'd been holding. George pulled the rifle back in from the window and looked inside the bags I'd brought out with me from the store. "Cigarettes?" he asked. "I didn't know you smoked." "I don't, but something the guy asked me made sense." "What was that?" "He asked me what I was going to trade for gas. I'm guessing that for a smoker, the cigarettes will be more valuable than food these days. They're going to be in short supply. I also threw in some bottles of wine. They didn't have anything harder than that. It's not for us. It's to negotiate with. I wanted to have a better answer next time someone asks what I have to trade." George nodded, then looked back to check the kids. You have to know how to operate a barter economy in this fallen world.